Welcome to the Marie Manucherry Podcast. Over the last 30 years, it has been my joy to assist humanity in aligning with their magnificence so they may heal, discover their natural gifts, and communicate with loved ones living on the other side. May you also experience delight while we dance in the powerful, intuitive world of energy. Let's get going. Welcome to Where Energy Meets the Divine. It's lovely to be back here on the podcast where I will talk for a little bit about something that I think could be helpful for everyone. Although when I answer a question, it could be for everyone. And yes, my dog Charles is in my office, so you might hear him, you know, scratching his collar right now. So thank you for being here. It's a lot of fun. And again, your question, even if you don't leave me a voicemail, which you can easily do at energyintuitive.com, and you'll get a free self-hypnosis, which are really fun. Self-hypnosis is a great way to start to change your belief system and your vibration and frequencies. You can have a different experience on Earth. And that's one of the cool things about coming to a physical reality is you get a lot of clarity, like, oh, I really don't want this. And oh, I really want that. And on last week's podcast, one of them anyway, because now I'm doing my best to do two a week, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it too as well. I talked about the fifth layer of the auric field, one's life purpose, and how expressing your truth when you do, which has nothing to do with your mind. And for old soul types, it rarely has anything to do with lying. It has a lot to do with being in your authentic emotional body. And old souls have a challenge expressing their real truth because the last thing they ever want to do, and this is part of our pattern, older souls, is to disappoint others or make them feel uncomfortable. Yet, when you're speaking your truth, it will be in the highest good of all. And if it disappoints someone, it probably has nothing to do with you. It has something to do with a belief system or a wound, a perception that this person has. And if you express your truth, then maybe they'll have an opportunity to change it, which would be really cool, very amazing, incredible, actually. So expressing your truth can take time. In other words, older soul types don't always know what they feel. They can easily feel other people around them. They can feel a complete stranger. And accurately, most of the time, there are moments when older souls haven't learned how to be in a healthy vibration with their heart chakra, and they may be projecting their own insecurities on others. And then they think that's how the person is feeling, but probably not. So learning how to speak your truth is a truly interpersonal experience. And I would love it if you gave yourself more time before you answer an email or return a phone call or talk to a friend. If you're not sure how you feel about something, let's say someone's asked you to lunch, and older soul types, we can feel how another person's going to feel if we go to lunch with them or if you go to lunch with them. But that doesn't mean you're feeling how you're going to feel at lunch. So you're going to right away feel like, oh, we're going to have so much fun. Well, they're going to have a lot of fun, but are you going to have a lot of fun? You still have free will, no matter how you assess your emotions, your authentic emotions, not your mind-made emotions. You can still do whatever you want. So let's say, again, someone's asked you to lunch. You immediately feel that they're going to have a good time. Please don't interpret that that's true for you as well. We don't know. That's a different ball game. You know that they're going to have fun. That's why they asked you out to lunch. They like your company. They want to spend time with you. They enjoy you. But then you have to stop before you go, sure, because that's what happens to old soul types. They feel what the other person wants. They misinterpret it as their own desire. And then they say yes, over and over and over again to a lot of things that actually do not bring them joy. They're not fulfilling for them. And old soul types have come to Earth to learn self-compassion. And learning what you need and want and following that to the best of your ability is one of the greatest forms of compassion for oneself. So you're probably going to have to take some time. If someone asks you out to dinner or go shopping or wants to take you to a play, I mean, something very generous and kind, perhaps say, let me get back to you in 48 hours, because it could take you hours before you can get out of your over-empathetic heart chakra where you're feeling everybody on the planet and maybe projecting that onto yourself as your real emotions, which they are not. Or you're in your brain overthinking and analyze, which is not an emotion. You don't know what you're feeling. So take some time, rest in the lower half of your body. And when I say that, which I will say often, no matter what platform I'm on, because this is the critical part of, about how individual humans are going to evolve and allow themselves to discover their magnificence and, you know, create effortlessly, which is normal, to be manifesting consciously what we truly want. When you rest in the lower half of your body, you feel your glute muscles, your feet, you might feel your hands on your lap. So you have this physical awareness of the hips on down to the toes or some part of your body there. And when you do that, your mind will let go of the energy that you've been throwing up into your brain, because your brain is a conservation organ. It does not need a lot of energy. So that the brain will let go of the excess energy that's exhausting your body and wiping out your mind, because it's like eating too much sugar for the brain. When you put a lot of subatomic particles in an organ like the brain that has trillions of neurotransmitters, which is its own energy source. And humans do that to try to logically solve problems that cannot be solved logically. You need intuitive answers, which come from the emotional response system. If you start to feel the lower half of your body and have an awareness, because most humans hang out here and here, like they hang out in their heart chakra, their third eye, their crown. They don't really hang out in the lower half of the body. Ultimately, what will happen when you start to reside more consciously in your feet or your glutes is you will be present everywhere in your body. Most people ignore the first chakras, like 1, 2, and 3, although those are the foundation of your entire energetic system. So when you rest in the lower half of the body and you kind of wait till you're somewhat neutral about this lunch date that's been proposed, you know, you sit there, it might take you a few hours to get out of your head, rest in the lower half of your body and go, would it be in my highest good to have lunch with this person? And then you detach, go back to watering plants, reading a book, or whatever you might have been doing, and wait till you get a response, which will always be kind and compassionate. It will never say anything mean about another person or a situation. It will just answer the question that you asked, like, oh, it might be more fun to go to a museum by yourself that day. It'll give some sort of suggestion like that, but however it gives an answer, it will be kind. It will be kind. So that's what's on the docket. Because if you start to get in the lower half of your body, you're going to know how you feel. You're going to be able to express it. And you're going to send powerful energy to the fifth layer of your auric field, which is called one's life purpose. And when that energy moves from your throat chakra to the fifth layer of your auric field, it activates the fifth layer and starts to highlight it so that you start to get impressions about who you are, what you want, where your gifts are. It's really critical to start knowing what your truth is and ultimately speaking it. If you can't speak it, you can write it down. Or if you can't speak it to another human being, you can talk to a tree or a dog or a frog or whatever makes you happy. So that's what it's like to speak one's truth. It's actually a process of getting out of your mind. A lot of older soul types feel a lot of guilt about all kinds of things that actually have nothing to do with them. And guilt is not a real emotion. It's a mind-made emotion. So when you feel responsible, like, I should go out to that to lunch with that person. You know, they treated me last time and I'll just go out one more time and I'll treat them because I felt my emotional response system and I don't want to go. As you start to express your truth, let's say you tell someone, no, I'm sorry, I'm not available that day. And they start to get the hint, if you're not completely honest with them, that you don't really want to spend time with them. You are going to move in a much higher frequency and vibration through speaking your truth. It's a very sacred act to speak one's truth. And you're an older soul type, so you're already kind. That's not something you need to work on. But not everyone's going to like your truth. They're not going to. That's kind of a sign, too, that you're on the right path, because people who haven't been speaking their truth have been compromising for so long and doing their best not to hurt other people's feelings, even though that's not their responsibility. Everyone's responsible for their own emotions. When they start to express it, their friends and family that they've conditioned for years, that they're just too, you know, they're going to answer in a nice, kind way, are not going to be happy with your comment or your lack of desire to hang out with them. But yet, your job is not to make other people feel comfortable. Your job is to make yourself feel enormously comfortable and happy. And I encourage you to spend time with this endeavor, because it's well worth the effort. It will change your life. Okay, I'm going to go on to the voicemails and start answering questions for the people who've been so lovely to leave them for me. Today is April 28th, 2024. And just so that you know what date it is, I started teaching my 2 8-week courses, The Soul's Journey and the vibrational class so that you can manifest. Thank you so much for those of you who signed up. I love, love, love the people in the classes. They're very kind. And we will take registration for another week, just in case. Okay, thank you.
I would like to elevate my energy. I've lost all my family and my husband recently. And I would like to be in touch with them, but I know that I need to elevate my energy, so I would like to learn how to do that.
Thank you, Esther, and I'm so sorry for all of the loss that you've experienced. It's no fun when the people we love, for humans anyway, to cross over, which is a soul's desire. Most humans think they want to stay here forever, but it's a temporary reality, so we don't get to stay here forever. You have to get happy. And it's such an annoying thing when you have loss and you feel sad. And then in order to connect with them, you have to raise your vibration. So that means you have to get happy about it. You have to be in a high frequency, and happiness and joy are what creates a high frequency. And it's very personal for the individual. It's not everybody is moved into a frequency of happiness by doing the same acts. So you have to kind of study yourself and figure out what makes you happy, whether that's resting on the couch and watching movies or going for a walk, eating certain foods, cooking, doing art. And then you'll have to kind of repeat these activities to help keep your vibration elevated. That's the critical thing. And once your vibration's elevated, then you're going to be able to hear, see, or feel your loved ones who have already lowered their vibration to the best of their capacity, because they can't lower it too far because they're not in a body anymore. They're in a completely different reality. But we can raise our vibration and they can lower theirs some. And then we meet in the middle and then we can have a connection, whether it's through an actual auditory experience with them, or you see them, you feel them, you smell them. It's really quite remarkable to have those types of experiences. It's just, personally, it's really quite remarkable. As a medium, it's also remarkable just to see how it affects others. It's fascinating to me. Still, even though I've been a practicing medium for over 20 years, I'm still delighted and surprised by how much it affects my clients. So you have to get happy. Maybe don't think about the people who have crossed. Think about other things. Get your energy up. And then say, thank you so much for connecting. I'm so excited we get to have an experience between realms. I love you. And then let go. Rest in the lower half of your body and wait for something to occur. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Marie. My name is Nancy, and I'm calling you because I watched your show on the New Soul podcast with Alex, and I was totally blown away. I am having a lot of problems with relationships, with people, my grandkids, others. I feel really irritated by people sometimes. And I need to get a grip on this because I also feel like I'm isolating. I sometimes think that I try to help too many people and then I get overwhelmed and I can't do it. So I really wanted to get a reading with you if I could. But I accept that this is part of the process and maybe you can help me with just me leading this message. Thank you so much. I love the work you're doing. If I'm able to get a consult with you, I would like to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. As you may know, I'm booked out pretty far in advance for private sessions. My calendar is not open at this time, but you can always leave an email request to go on the cancellation list. I do have requirements, like significant loss, like from, you know, someone passing over, or health issues. Those are my requirements. But you can write into Caitlin, my assistant, and she will help you with that. Yeah, you're the perfect person for the intro to the podcast today, where you've just overgiven, over-nurtured. You don't know what you want. You don't know what you feel. You feel everyone else, and then you're trying to take care of them. And that's just not what we're supposed to do. You have to take care of yourself first and foremost, which I know is difficult when people have young children. That's practically impossible. But even moms have to figure out a way to go get a massage, go have lunch with their girlfriends, take a girl trip every once in a while. You still have to kind of figure it out. Or dads, if they're the hands-on parent, then they need to figure that out as well. Whoever is caretaking to people, not just children, have to find ways to self-fulfill and self-nurture. Like, that's really critical. So I think you have to spend time figuring out what you want and who you are and what makes you feel happy. I don't think you know these things. Knowing what other people want and what makes them happy is not the same thing as knowing what you desire. And if you think, and I don't mean to speak for you, but I've just heard this a lot over the years that people say, well, when my family's happy, I'm happy. And to me, that is just a lie. Because no one's ever going to be happy all at the same time. Not everybody's going to be happy at the same time. There's always going to be someone who's disappointed, or, you know, maybe there's moments where everybody's happy. If everyone's on a family vacation to the Bahamas, there might be less annoyance or frustration. But if we're waiting for everybody to be happy in order for us to allow ourselves our own happiness, that's going to be a really long wait. So you're going to have to figure out, spend time with yourself, stop taking care of everyone, stop worrying about them, stop trying to fix them. And then you're going to be able to communicate your own needs. Because when overly nice people are over caring for others, then they get resentful after a while. And they don't mean to, but they do. I remember this one time everybody was at my house. That means all my kids were in town, all the grandkids were there, and we had made dinner. I don't even know if I cooked. I could have ordered food. I don't recall. It was in the summer sometime. It was lovely to have everyone home. And I was loading up the dishwasher, and I can't remember if somebody said something to me, because not everybody likes the way I load my dishwasher. I have a lot of very practical children who their dad's an engineer, and one of my daughters is an engineer too. So I don't know if somebody said something, which they often do, about how I load the dishwasher, which is also annoying, by the way, because it's even my dishwasher. But I got annoyed and I said something like, I'm going to need more help. I can't do this all by myself. Cause prior to that point, I only had one grandchild. And so that everyone could come over and I could clean up easily, you know, and put things away. But now at that point, I think I had three grandchildren, maybe four, and I just couldn't do anything. I couldn't do it all. You know, I would be just wiped out. But when I finally said it, I was kind of yelling. I wasn't yelling at the top of my voice, but I was yelling because I was in a place of resentment. And my oldest daughter, who's adorable, they all are, she goes, but you said you like taking care of us. And I go, yeah, I did when there was one grandchild, but now this is too much. And that's what happens when we don't know how we really feel and we don't regularly express our truth. And obviously this was a gentler moment. You know, we can all have more difficult ones, but if we get clear about what we want and what will make us happy personally, we can express that more often. And people will then jump through the hoops, which my kids have. They've been great. You know, they take out garbage and clean up things for me and help the grandkids put away all their toys because I have too many toys in my house for my grandkids. So that's what I'm saying for that. You've got some work to do in relationship to yourself first. And then I think that will naturally affect positively the relationships you have with others. Okay.
Hi there, Marie. This is Carmel from Canada. Ever since I found you, I have sent you a couple of questions. But this one here is for my sister, who is also my friend. She's 11 years older than me. She is 71. And she just found out that she has polycysts, which is hereditary, on her liver and kidneys. And I guess it's very severe. Her family doctor sent her right up to the surgeon. She bypassed the kidney, liver, and hereditary specialist. And her family doctor did share with her, if one of the cysts breaks, then that is the end of her. She's done all her other tests, like her blood tests and her poop tests, and they all came back perfectly fine. She said her family doctor is amazed how well she is, and she does. You wouldn't even know that she's ill. She's very good. So I'm wondering if you can share with me anything that you see around her. How is she doing? How is she really doing? And I love her very much. And it's just love from one sister to another. Thank you.
Thank you, Carmel, if I said your name correctly. And I'm so sorry about your sister. And how scary. If one of these cysts break, that's the end. Hopefully she's got a second opinion. Maybe even contact someone in the Mayo Clinic. But I do have an idea. But she will need to ask her physicians. I've talked before about I think it's a prophylactic digestive enzyme called serrapeptase. It breaks up proteins in the body. But again, she'll need to ask her physicians because maybe this would be counterindicated for that many cysts. I have no idea. Serrapeptase, because doctors will be familiar with it, they do make a non-natural version of serrapeptase in pharmacology. So modern medicine doctors do prescribe serrapeptase. I believe they use 240,000 units for a couple months. In the holistic realm, it's 120,000 units indefinitely. The other thing that is a counter indicator are blood thinners like Coumadin or other forms of blood thinners, because apparently the serrapeptase could slightly thin someone's blood. But that, I think, would be a great option if the physicians agree. And whenever I give any recommendation on here, even a vibration plate recommendation, people should ask their doctors or their therapists, their holistic practitioners, because your healthcare workers know you and your history. I don't, right? I don't know people's history. So the liver is about repressed anger. And the kidneys, because I think that's what you was the second organ area, are about repressed fear. Your sister has not done a lot of inner work. I would highly recommend that she find a really great therapist who's aware of energy and super kind. And I would get some therapy done. Your sister doesn't look like to me that she's going to leave anytime soon. She's happy. She enjoys her life. We don't know exactly, you know, how long a person would survive with some of the health conditions they have. You know, in other words, if we didn't have all the beautiful tests that we have now, MRIs and CT scans and PET scans and all of that, bone scans, if we didn't have those, I think a lot of people would be oblivious to the health issues that are inside of them, especially when they're not causing problems. But something brought her to the doctor that made them investigate. Maybe her liver enzymes were in a unique place. So some therapy, have her ask her doctors about serrapeptase. And if it's appropriate with her physicians, because I don't think they've given any movement restrictions, but if she could lay down on the floor and throw a couple of temper tantrums a week, that would be amazing to help release some of the anger from her liver. I hope that's helpful. And you're very lucky that your DNA is a real sibling for you. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much.
Dear Marie, my name is Rachel. I live in Vancouver, Canada, and I have been on a long healing journey since I was in my 20s. I am now 55. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia after my nose surgery at 23 and severe endometriosis when I was in my 30s. I have done, I feel, a lot of inner work during all this time, many discoveries, and I have improved tremendously, but I still want to continue healing certain areas that are bothering me. I had tried almost everything, physio, chiro, naturopath, etc. to heal. Then at 51, I met a chiro who I didn't know was also an energy healer and intuitive. Mm-hmm. And he made me aware that I was still in fight or flight from my childhood trauma and said my pain would not go away until I dealt with that. He told me to start meditating to be able to start to calm my mind so I could begin to heal the cause. Since doing that and starting to learn about my chakras, my body was healed so much. My body has healed so much. Many areas are pain-free. I do not take medication. After I started meditating, after two months, I began to see groups of flashing, moving white lights in my home at times for many seconds, then disappear. I spoke to a medium last year about this, and my father came through with messages of love that helped me heal more. Here are my three questions. I would love to heal my sinus pain that I'm told is nerve pain after my surgery, and now I can feel it around my eye sockets too, causing my eyes now to get affected to dry. What do I need to do to first to heal this? And I would like for my rib cage to open up and inflammation to go away, actually there and wherever else is still left to heal and for the inflammation to leave. My acupuncturist said I have fasciitis, so mm-hmm. she treats it with needles. Three, are the groups of lights I see my spirit guides? Do they want to speak to me? What do they want to tell me? Thank you so much.
Okay, Rachel, and congratulations on all the healing that you've done. That's exciting. Our spirit guides talk to us all the time. They're always communicating in some fashion. Just most people don't have their energy elevated high enough. They're not happy enough. They're not in enough joy to be able to hear, see, or feel the communication from the spirit guide. So you have to get happier. Those lights, I think, are departed loved ones. I think you have the ability of mediumship, and beings on the other side know which humans have developed it already, or were born that way with it fully developed. Again, you'll have to get out of your head and rest in the lower half of your body. I've already said this today, but serrapeptase, it breaks up fibers and proteins. It can be very helpful with scar tissue and all of the things that you've suffered with. And it's really good for sinuses, actually. It's also good for cardiac tissue. It's really quite a remarkable drug. But again, please ask a medical professional, please. Just because everyone has unique circumstances in their body, and not even herbs are not always the best for us because they can be strong. And then the other thing is you got to learn to let go. You think about your health 24/7, knock it off. Stop thinking about it. Stop trying to fix everything. You've got to learn to let go. That is probably one of the greatest maneuvers a human being could ever do, is to learn to surrender and get out of the way. It's really quite a profound experience. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Marie. My name's Ellen. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a nurse as well. I feel really lucky to have found you. I've been doing a lot of emotional clearing over the last 10 years, and I've had an energy therapist helping me with this. Now there's a big energy in my left leg, and the muscle contracts, and it's a fear energy. And I know it's deep rooted, and I know I have my suspicions that it is from the feminine ancestral line within my mother's side. They're all intuitive women, and I feel like I'm clearing some trauma. And I just really need some help. If you could help me understand what this stuck energy is about and how I can release it, forever grateful, so that I can move forward with my career as a healer as well.
Good. Great, Ellen. I'm so happy for you about your healing career. I think it's sciatica, honestly, but you are right about the left-hand side. It's feminine, but no one's responsible to heal their ancestors' stuff. Every soul is responsible for their own personal healing. So there isn't really ancestral things we have to heal. There might be something connected to ourself that we have in common with our ancestors, but we only need to focus on our own healing. I think it's sciatica, and I think it actually comes from your lower back, personally. So I think it's nerve pain. And your lower back's from doing too much for others. You've been in a healing career for a long time. So could you practice the word no? Like, no, 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 no. When you're driving in the car or taking a shower, I just want you to get as comfortable with no as you are with yes, because then I think you'll stop aggravating the nerve from your lower back, because your lower back doesn't have a lot of energy moving in. It's not like I see a big leak. I just see a big opening and nothing's moving inward. So it's weak. And it's really the lower back that affects the sciatic nerve. And it can feel very much like muscles, but it could also affect your muscles because it's a nerve and it's being active. So that's what I think. All right. Thank you so much.
Hi, Marie. My name's Michelle, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. About 15 months ago, my daughter was killed in an accident by a man who was more than three times over the legal limit. She was a vibrant, brilliant, charismatic 30-year-old who was just coming into her own in the best of ways. Since her transition, I find myself reliving all of the ways I wish I had been a better parent, slowed down to hear her the way I should have instead of allowing the busyness of life to distract me. It is a really tough road as a parent. I have been on a spiritual journey myself, pretty intuitive and sensitive, but these thoughts seem to get in the way of the higher vibration and higher frequency that it seems is so necessary to establish a consistent connection with my daughter. What I would love most in the world is to have a connection with her outside of knowing that the cardinal I see or the numbers I see or the song that she sends is her. I do believe that. But what I would love most in the world is to establish a more consistent connection with her. Any guidance you could give would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for calling. And I'm so sorry about the loss of your daughter. I'm so happy you got to have 30 years with her. How incredible is that? Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to get happier, right? You're gonna have, so that means don't think about her. Don't think about her as you're raising your vibration. And then once your vibration's elevated, then you can think about her and say, thank you so much. And you're saying this to the divine, to her, the universe, for this incredible connection that we have. You will have these experiences, but these mind-made thoughts of guilt that you weren't a good mother or whatever, however you're translating it, they're not real. Those are not real emotions. That's your mind. And of course, you've had a tremendous shock and a terrible grief experience, by losing your daughter. Although, as you know, I know you know this, that everyone's choosing to leave their body when they leave. Souls are so incredibly brilliant, so smart, so aware. Their decision to come into Earth is a conscious decision that they make. What century, what parental unit they choose, their gender or lack of gender identification. They're choosing all of that is happening, very early in their life. And so, of course, they're choosing their exit. Of course they are. Some people don't want to live a long time on Earth. Some people have had maybe a few lifetimes where they aged and they didn't like the process. A lot of people want, not a lot, but let's just say a fair amount of people want to die quickly. Some people like to die slowly and have their family see that there was nothing else that could be done so that they don't stay in grief for a long period of time and can relax about it. So your daughter chose her own exit for really good reasons for her soul. And when souls make these decisions, they're not really always thinking about others. Not that they don't love us and wish us well, but they can't help this call. They're being called back to their original home and they can't help it. It's like the phone keeps ringing and then they pick it up and, poof, they're gone. But I'm still sorry. We probably need to have a lot of teaching and classes about what's really going on prior to our exits here on Earth, and talk about the true, beautiful, you know, scenario that's occurring beyond the human perception and reality. But you're gonna have to get happy. So don't think about her to get happy. You will have these experiences. You will. I can see it. Your daughter's devoted to you having these experiences. She thinks you were an amazing mother. She thinks she had a really wonderful life. She has absolutely no regrets, even when and how she left her body. She said it was kind of cool because she could see people working on her and trying to save her life. She could see that. She thought it was fascinating, just fascinating. Keep me posted. Alrighty. Thank you.
Hello, Marie. This is Alina. I'm recording from Kent, Washington, so close to Seattle. I really like your podcast, so thank you so much for all your messages. And I sometimes hear something that resonates with me as well. My question is, I struggle with career a lot and life purpose and really long for fulfillment in that area. And I would like for you to see if there's anything that you pick up on in terms of what kind of opportunity should I seek for. I'm really a creative person and I feel like I lack ambition a lot and not as logical, you know, as some people, and not as not a go-getter type of person. So I really feel like I should be enjoying my time and stress less, and I really feel like it should come easy and with a lot of fulfillment, a lot of I don't know, enjoyment. And so far, I couldn't find that. I mean, I do something that I really like, but it doesn't bring me wealth in that area that much. So I need to marry the two and find something that really pays well, but also is really fulfilling. So anything helps. Thank you so much for listening and answering the questions. Thank you.
You're welcome, Alina. And you are right. It is supposed to be easy and fulfilling. And I wrote art when you were talking. So yes, you're an artist. You're a creative type. It's okay not to feel impassioned about things that you're doing that you don't want to do. I liked high school a little bit, but I never really liked school. I didn't have the best experiences until I went to college, until I went to nursing school, because I was inspired. I was excited. I loved it. I mean, I was raising three children and, you know, taking care of a house and cooking Middle Eastern food every day, which is a lot, by the way, to cook Middle Eastern food. And yet I would stay up all night long studying for exams and to get ready for my practical experiences in the hospital while I was in nursing school. So you're right. You're supposed to be inspired. You do need to work on raising your energy. You do keep it kind of low. So maybe not think about what you think other people are thinking about you, because honestly, the only people who can really feel others are empaths, because they've learned compassion and they only think nice things about others. And then younger souls don't really feel other people because they're learning compassion. They don't really feel others. So they don't think about them at all. Even if they're staring at you, they don't think anything about you. So if you could just eradicate that piece, and wealth and career are two separate energies. It doesn't mean that you can't create wealth through your career, but you first have to work on your relationship with wealth, which I have talked about endlessly on this podcast and throughout my career. You have to identify what makes you really, really, really happy. And as I was speaking about this with you, all of a sudden I was energetically in a museum in Italy, in Florence, beautiful high ceilings and, you know, gorgeous light coming through the windows and incredible art, more traditional art, but just really quite beautiful. So if you could think about sacred places like that, because art to you is so sacred, while you're engaging with wealth, that means before you touch your wallet, before you bring cash out of it, before you use a card of any kind, before you put your password into the computer to do online banking, before you go to the mailbox to get financial mail, before you open it, before you write a check, or whatever it is that you do, you need to think of something that's going to be art related for you. That's what I'm hearing, with light shining through windows. You need to have your energy in a very high elevated place, and then it won't matter what you do. You will always have enough money, or you will create wealth through the work that you do, or both. It really doesn't matter what people do, but they need to change their relationship with wealth in order to manifest that and create it. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Marie. I am Mercedes from Barcelona, Spain. I met you through Alex Ferrari, and it has been a blessing. I am going through a difficult time in my life where I live on autopilot. I work too much, and I keep facing people who lower my self-esteem at work. And I cannot connect with pleasure, emotions, my husband, and life itself. Can you help me to understand what generates all this? I am having a hard time getting out of the hole I have dug myself into. Thank you very much.
Hello, and thank you for asking your question. I love, love, love Mercedes. I love Barcelona. It's beautiful, beautiful part of Spain. This is really your energy. So you have a lack of self-worth, and that's why you've allowed yourself to be surrounded by people who are unkind to you. When a person changes their self-worth, that means you have to fall in love with yourself. You have to have an emotional experience with yourself that is self-loving. When a person does that, it doesn't matter where they are, what they do, they will naturally attract people who adore them and cherish them and think they're amazing. That's what they will do. Sometimes I've noticed when I've been out and about, say that I'm at a coffee shop and I'm around a group of people, and maybe there's five of us together, you know, just talking for a few moments, greeting each other. And one person looks the other way and kind of turns away from me. And I know it's not because of my lack of self-worth, not anymore anyway. I know it's because they actually are uncomfortable with my light, because it's really bright. You know, I have a lot of bright light energy inside of me. So we want that. We want the people who are uncomfortable with you, with your light, to be the ones who kind of turn away temporarily. It doesn't mean they don't like you. They don't even, it's completely unconscious. But you will not change any of these relationships. Even if you go out in the world to make different relationships, like you change your career or your job and you go to a different workforce, until you change the vibration inside of yourself, you will need to fall in love, madly in love with you, which could be a great what if question. What if I'm madly in love with me? But there are many ways, and I've talked about it a lot on these podcasts. So hopefully you remember them and you're going to put them into action, because that's the only thing that's going to change these outcomes. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Marie. This is Valerie from Pennsylvania. I'm hoping that you might be able to offer me some guidance. I've been struggling with an odd health issue for the last year and a half that I believe is stress or energy related. After a particularly hot and physically active summer weekend of bicycling and kayaking, I developed a yeast infection in both of my armpits. It morphed into something different that the dermatologist simply identified as dermatitis, because he really didn't know what it was. I noticed that cleaning up my diet really helped my painful symptoms. But as the rash persists, I also now have dry, itchy patches under my eyebrows, and sometimes at both temples and below my earlobes. So it's bilateral and very persistent. So I'm really curious what's going on in my body and wondering how to address that. And then concurrently, I've been investing a lot of my energy to get to know and nurture myself, and working on leaving an unhappy marriage. My husband acknowledges our situation, and we both say we want to go forth amicably for our son's well-being and our own. But of course, we have different ideas about how to move forward. So I'm really putting a lot of energy into figuring out how to do what is best for me, as well as my child. I would be grateful for any guidance you can offer me. I thank you so, so very much. Namaste.
Namaste, Valerie. Namaste. I'm so sorry about the yeast infection. You've probably had an overgrowth of yeast in your digestive system for a long time, and then it finally came through the skin, because the skin is a way that people detoxify toxins is through the skin. The largest organ on your body is your skin. So I hope you're continuing to clean up your diet, which can, and the red patches around your eyes, that's candida too. That's all candida. So no sugar. I mean, no sugar. Fruit in very low sugar, like no bananas unless they're green, super green. No pineapple, no dried fruit for sure. Low, low carbohydrates. The fruit that's best is like green apples and berries, like strawberries, raspberries, and blueberries. No watermelon, no mangoes, no pine. I think I said pineapple. So you have to keep your sugar really, really low. I would see a naturopathic physician. They're experts at healing candida, which can take a while because it's normal for us to have a certain amount of yeast in our body. But when it builds and builds and builds, which isn't just about food, it's about stress. Stress, I think, leads to yeast infections. But naturopaths are really great at helping people get rid of yeast candida issues. So, oh, get a lawyer, please. Even though you're not going to use the lawyer because you're not really good at asking for what you want and what's in your best interest, you need to talk to somebody who's emotionally not related, who will tell you what is in your best interest, legally speaking, regarding this release of relationship, which is exciting. I'm happy for you. So you're going to get better, but candida takes a little while, not for everyone, but most people, it takes a little while to get rid of because it's the intestinal tract for women typically is 25 feet. It's a very long organ. And to clean that all up, and no coffee, that's not good for you either. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Marie. My name is Janice and I'm from Chico, California. Last July, my husband unexpectedly passed after a very brief illness. And 6 days later, my beautiful 3.5-year-old grandson drowned in a swimming pool. Interestingly enough, their birthdays were also 6 days apart. They would have, this last November, both had birthdays. So I'm wanting to know if you can give me some insight into their relationship. And I would love reassurance that both of them are okay. And if there's a message from either one, especially from my husband,
yeah,
it would be wonderful to have that. I recently had an amazing lucid dream experience where we had a visitation with each other and it felt extraordinary. But there are a lot of unanswered questions that I have had about his unwillingness to be emotionally open and with me. And it definitely caused a lot of lack of emotional and physical intimacy over the last years of our relationship. So, this is a whole new chapter in my life. And so I'm an artist. I also do some healing massage work, and any inspiration that is either my guides or my past loved ones are trying to give me, I would love some direction about purpose going forward. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm so sorry, I'm Janice, about the loss of your spouse and your grandchild. I'm so, so sorry. Sometimes before a child passes away, or in this case, a grandchild, an adult in the family that the child knows will cross over first. Like, so when kids come here and then they leave young, they don't have a lot of people that they know that are on the other side. You know, their grandparents are still living, or their parents are still living, their siblings are still alive. And so they don't know anyone. And a parent or grandparent or somebody that they know, and this is not uncommon, I've seen it many times, they will die first. They will leave their body first so that when the grandchild leaves, the grandchild will be greeted by a familiar person in the family. So this is very common. They are together. They're hanging out just like their best buds. It's adorable. And I'm so sorry for both of these tragic loss and so close together. I'm sure that was very difficult. Your husband talks about how really you guys should have got divorced a long time ago, not because you're not good, lovely, wonderful people to each other, but you weren't getting what you wanted. And he didn't know how to change and he didn't want to change. It was not personal. He just didn't want to be different. So he said you should have got divorced a long time ago. That's what he says to me. They're both fine. Both your grandchild and your husband are both fine, having fun and enjoying themselves. Your grandchild does talk very briefly, but does say that the grief that the family has regarding its loss is very significant and difficult to watch, very difficult. Of course, we don't want to lose anyone. And, you know, in all of our cultures around the world, the last person we're supposed to lose is a child. And we don't have any good understanding about that. Like if someone's elderly, we're like fine when they leave their body. We have this program in our mind that they lived a really full life. They lived a long time. It's okay that they left. But other times when people leave their body, especially children, we aren't okay with it. And it's, again, something we need to work on. Your husband wants you to go out there and have, I agree with him, go have fun, go play around. And it doesn't have to be sexual, but it certainly can be. He said, stop thinking about life purpose right now. Go play, have some fun, make some cool relationships. He said, we waited too long. We should have gone our separate ways for your own happiness. And he goes, and then maybe I would have got my act together and done some inner work. That's what he says. So I hope this is helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Marie. This is Nicole in Beaverton, Oregon, and I am calling with a follow-up question. I actually called into your show back in August, and you had advised me to go ahead and give a gentleman I met out salsa dancing a chance at a second date. He had kind of revealed his shadow side a little bit, and I was worried at the time. Well, I went on that date, and here we are together, and we've been kind of a couple together for a couple months now. And again, the other night, I got a pit in my stomach. And I think maybe it's telling me that this is not a good match. Here I am again, but I just want to check it out because, of course, I'm just unsure. So the thing of it is he told a story the other night that really just made him sound so cold. Like if he breaks up with someone, he's telling me, because in the dancing scene, like he's out dancing and he's got a couple people that he used to date that he still dances with and he sees. But in the process of talking about that, because this is a common thing with the dance world, and which is why a lot of dancers don't date each other anyhow. But he says that he can just flip a switch. If they're not crying over him, he'll just kind of flip a switch and just be done with them mentally, emotionally. Why would he cry over them, or why would he be upset if they're not upset over him? And likewise, when I started asking about that, why would he be emotionally open or invested with anybody unless they're emotionally invested in him? And then he also seems to kind of play joke around, but it kind of feels like negative energy, but it might be a cultural thing, where he's just kind of joking, and I just feel like it's a low vibration. I just don't know. Sometimes he feels so emotionally wise, and then sometimes I feel like he's totally disconnected from his emotions, and nothing's a straight line, or he's so cold. And I just, when I got that pit in my stomach, I just thought maybe I'm supposed to be done with this. And but in other ways, he really is wonderful. And yeah. Anyway, I'm a little bit all over the place about it. So maybe you have some ideas on what this is. Is he a young soul and I'm an old soul? I heard you talk about that on your latest podcast. I don't know. Any insight? Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you, Nicole. And thanks for the follow-up. And I'm really happy you tried dating him again. I think that's a good idea. First and foremost, when you date people that you're serious about, you have to tell them what you want and what you need. You know, like, I'm looking for a long-term relationship. You know, these things are not acceptable for me. These are my deal breakers. You know, when you've decided that, oh, this is the person I like, then you have to lay it out there. You have to say what you need and what you want. This is critical. And if other people don't like it, that does not matter. That's actually good information. Like, wow, they don't care what I think or feel or what I need, then I should not be dating them. Or at least you, if you decide to continue dating someone, you know it's casual and it's not something that's going to be long-term. So that's number one. I hope you've been clear about what you want, if you know what that is, which I think you do know on a few things. Yeah, you're a little all over the place because I'm not going to be emotionally connected to people who are not emotionally connected to me. If I've dated them in the past and I'm not going to date them anymore, I'm not going to be emotionally connected to them. Why? That's a waste of my energy, my time. I don't think that's a good idea whatsoever. Even friendships. If I'm not connected with people anymore, I'm not going to waste my energy or my time trying to connect with them. So that's kind of interesting, if I understood you correctly, something that you're not sure about. So I think you need to communicate with him authentically once you know what you really want in a relationship. And I think people need to know that before they get in relationships. They need to know what they need, because if you can't communicate it to someone, then they can't tell you what they're capable of providing for you or what they want. Like, that's very, very clear. And I know at certain points in our lives, certain things don't matter. Like, you know, some people aren't going to procreate anymore, so children are not part of the conversation. But it doesn't matter what our age is or what our lifestyle is, we still need to communicate our needs with others. And if people can't respect them or they don't agree, that's important information. So I think that needs to happen first if that hasn't happened yet. Okay, I hope that's helpful. All right, thank you. Okay, one more, everyone, and then I'm going to go do other things.
Hello, Marie. My name is Anne. I live in Southern California. First of all, I want to express my great appreciation for the good work you're doing. Very much enjoy it and appreciate it. I, simply put, I'm a medical herbalist, a clinical herbalist, and I've been working in this field for many, many years. I love my work, very much called to it, and enjoy it. And I know that I do use my intuition in my work, have always. But I would like to know if you have any insight or recommendations on how I can even lean more into my intuition regarding my help and working, well, helping people and working with people. Of course, I use my experience and practice and my education in my work, but I would like to be more able to use my intuition in speaking with people and helping them along their pathway to better health. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do. Thanks for your help. Bye.
Thank you, Anne. I think you said Anne, or is it Annie? I'm not sure, but thank you. And thank you for the work that you do. I can tell it brings you joy. You love it. It's interesting. You love the plants. Okay. It's fun for you. I can tell that you enjoy it a lot. Kind of the same thing I tell everyone else. You've got to get out of your beautiful brain. You have all the clairs. You're clairsentient, you're clairaudient, and you're clairvoyant. So you just have to get out of your head and rest in the lower half of your body. I believe in the last podcast, which was on whatever date Thursday was, today's the 28th, so it was last Thursday, I linked some videos on YouTube that I've left that have that are connected to how to get out of your head and rest in the lower half of your body. That's all you have to do is not think. Intuition has nothing to do with the logical mind. It's very different. It's also 1,000 times more accurate than the logical mind. So that's what I think. And thank you again for the work you do in the world. And thank you everyone for calling in. I love all of your questions. They bring me great joy. And yes, the podcast where most people have seemed to find me was through Alex Ferrari, The Next Level Soul. I just did a recent recording with him. He's going to be releasing an app soon, and he asked me a bunch of questions, and so I answered them. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.